Just 5 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show. Sam Jones is joining us in studio. Of course, we've talked a lot about Mile High 3v3 tournament coming up on July 30th. We'll give out that website a little bit later on as well. Holyoke says flopping has probably existed for a long time, but who was the original flopper? Who changed the game? Do you know the answer to that, Sam?
Oh, I don't know the answer to that. In NBA basketball?
Yeah. It seemed like it was... We started to see it more with, why am I blanking out, with the Spurs.
Not the greats.
Manu.
Manu Ginobili.
Yeah.
Manu Ginobili,
It just seemed like we started seeing it more.
That's true. That was more European because they got it. Actually, that's a good comparison because they got it from the European soccer. I don't know if you ever watched any kind of European soccer.
I watched Ted Lasso. Does that count? There it is, Angel. We got it again. I always tell Angel we go over under one mention of Ted Lasso on the show, and I try to nail it.
It worked, too. It worked.
We nailed it.
My stomach hurts.
Google says it was Bill Laimbeer, who was one of the first NBA players to revolutionize flopping.
Really?
And that's one of the guys that dished out the most pain.
He was good at
he was flopping as well, huh? Wow. He was flopping and just crushed someone. Huh?
So they're trying to dial this in. That's the whole plan with Summer League. I don't know if you've noticed it. I didn't notice it Sunday night. They're trying to, if you flop, you basically a technical, right? But it doesn't count as a, it doesn't actually count toward your foul.
Yeah, the opposing team gets one free throw and the ball.
And then the ball.
Yeah.
And then it's a technical foul that doesn't count as a personal.
What do you think of flopping and trying to somehow...
Yeah, going back to what I said, like, well, Manu Ginobili brought it over from Europe. The European soccer player, they're always flagging and flopping. And it's been adopted by almost every NBA player, every college player. Everybody says, hey, when they go into the basket without even getting touched.
None of them have ever committed a foul.
Of course not.
They always look at the ref.
Right, exactly. You always get fouled when you're on offense. You've never committed a foul on defense.
Yes.
But it is a little out of control. I understand the idea about, you know, trying to limit the flopping right now, but... I saw a call. You haven't seen it yet. I saw a call. A guy literally got elbowed in the face and like fell, and they called a flopping call. Like that's not a flop.
Yeah, they do get after it.
Right.
Man.
Yeah. So I like the idea of trying to clean it up, but guys are just gonna throw their arms around all the time.
We'll see what they try. My biggest thing is like even because I love Nikola Jokic, I do, but you know he always is pleading with the refs too. He's got both of those hands out there. He's like, please no. And I almost wonder if you just take 1 year and you just get harsh. You know, if a guy complains, you tee him up right there. But then obviously you're gonna have a lot of technical fouls.
And that's the problem with every new rule they try to implement in the NBA. It lasts through summer league. First three preseason games, maybe one or two games, and then it just stops.
They just kind of forget about it.
Every new rule. So it's going to be hard to stop that.
What do you think of this in-season tournament that they're doing? I don't understand it. It doesn't make any sense to me.
See, now you're talking to someone on the complete opposite side of the spectrum. Because
you like it.
Listen, it's fantastic.
Oh, Sam.
I'm going to go all the way to say it's fantastic. Let me tell you why. They also took this from Europe. So I played 10 years professionally in Europe, coached 6 years professionally in Europe, and every year in the season we have something called the Cup competition. So the Dutch Cup, the Belgian Cup, the French Cup, the Italian Cup, the Spanish Cup, Copa del Rey, they call it the King's Cup in Spain. It's awesome because it keeps people excited throughout the year because right now it's a long 82 season game, you know, everyone's just waiting for the playoffs. Let's just wait for the playoffs. Now the play-in came. What do you think about the play-in? Be honest.
I actually do. I didn't think I was going to like it. I actually am okay with it.
Stop right there. So he's okay with it. I mean, he likes it, guys. He likes it.
You like to play it or you don't like to play it?
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. Right?
I'm not like, if they went away with it, I wouldn't be sad, but I'm good with it.
I love cool. That's also the European mode, but in Europe, it's a relegation system. Like, if you're not one of the top teams, bottom two teams go down, the top two teams
go up. I kind of like that.
Yeah, you have to continue to compete. There's no tanking.
There's
here,
no tanking.
Right?
Yeah, it would eliminate that.
So with the in-season tournament, in Europe, they call it the cup competition, where you play the separate competition within the competition to see who's the best team. And everyone, it's fair game for everybody. I mean, everybody can win a cup. They're blessing the players with $500,000. Every player gets $500,000. And they say, what's $500,000 to a guy that's making $40 million? But, you know, I think there's motivation behind money.
Always. My thing is, like, make it mean something like in terms of standings or something, but it doesn't, right? It doesn't.
Not right now. Similar to the MLB, like MLB, right? If you all star, the NL wins it or whatever.
Right,
home court event. Yeah, I think that would be kind of cool. I think that would be actually kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like whoever
put
went,
something on.
Yeah, whichever team from which conference, the Eastern Conference, Western Conference, if they win that cup, or it's the tournament, if you will, that conference gets home court advantage regardless of the
right.
the standing. But that's kind of hard because you work so hard to get the
What about top seed. What about this? Okay, so they're what? Counting the play-in teams, how many playoff teams are there now?
Is it 16?
Six.
Oh, no, no. So 20. So wait, 16, is it 18? It might be 20.
Is it 8? Is it 10 on both sides?
It might be 10 on both sides, yeah.
Okay. What if you just say you win the tournament, you're guaranteed
a playoff spot,
a top 8 spot. No play-in,
right.
Top 8.
Right. That's an idea.
Because my original thought was you just say you're guaranteed a top 3 seed, but then are you coasting for the rest of the season? So you don't want to do that. But what if it's just a playoffs, top 8, and you're still playing for something because you want a better seat?
You want the stakes to be high, huh?
I do.
You don't like just play for nothing.
No.
They're playing for $500,000, though.
I know, but if I could get that, then I would be like, yeah, heck yeah.
And it's a tournament. It's a tournament-style game. So we love the NCAA tournament. We love the one-and-done, you know, win-or-go-home type deal. It's the same thing. Like, you win, you pay home and away. Each team that's in your pool, and if you lose, you're out. You know, that's kind of cool, too. It's a tournament-style game in the middle of the season that keeps us excited about the NBA right before Christmas.
Best team punches a ticket to the playoffs, guaranteed. Worst team gets what do you call it, relegated?
To the G League.
Yeah.
And the G League champion moves out. If we had those facilities, like if the facilities kind of compared.
That is the thing that
would
I
be
do.
Awesome.
What I learned from Ted Lasso is I got the over, Angel. Nail. I'm trying to. Have you seen it yet?
I maybe turned on the first episode. I'm not a TV guy.
Okay.
I watch live sports documentaries. That's it. Yeah.
I do some of that, but I like TV.
Yeah,
but that's the thing. Like, I don't watch a lot of it. If I like something, I watch. Watch the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what I do really like about the on the soccer side of things is like the worst team moves down.
Right.
There's constant motivation for you. There is no tanking. And
you've
got to figure out a way to eliminate tanking.
Right, right.
In all of the major sports that we talk about.
And that would definitely be a route, but we don't have the...
There's nowhere to put them.
Facility. Yeah, we don't have facilities in those lower divisions to
just tell them to take
that.
A year off.
You want you suspend? You have the worst record in the league. You suspend it for 1 year. That's ridiculous.
All these players are gone too.
That's ridiculous, bro. Come on. What do we do with those contracts?
It's just an idea.
What do we do with all those contracts?
I throw out the great ideas. They have to figure out what to do with those.
It's above
ideas.
Our pay grade, right here. Huh? Yeah.
I do think that. Like, what do you think about this idea? The best worst team. So basically, the first team out of the playoffs. So the 11th team.
Okay.
Gets the number one pick.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have these great ideas.
This is all I do. I mean, it's just I throw these ideas
because
out.
They fought to get to the playoff, but they didn't quite make it there.
So. But you're also eliminating tanking because those teams that are right, that's how the order goes.
Yeah, but no, you don't eliminate
tanking. Then the middle teams just keep getting better.
Because if I'm close to getting to the playoffs, get to the number one pick, I'm probably going to lose those next three games to make sure I finish 11th and not 10th. So that doesn't solve the problem. Sorry. That was a nice try.
All right,
good
on.
Swing.
What else?
Swing and a
what
miss.
What else wild idea do I have?
Swing and a miss.
What else? What else do I got, Angel?
Nice idea.
I want to see, Sam, your thoughts on Victor Wembanyama and his outlook and potential in the NBA.
It wasn't really one of my ideas there, Angel.
Well,
yes,
sorry. We brought Angel in, and Angel hit a home run with that question. So thank you, Angel, for chiming
Angel's
in
the
here.
Real brains behind the operation.
No, Wemby, I'm excited about Wemby. I want him to do well. I was talking to my kid, little Sam and little Donnie, about this the other day. I'm like, look, he had a bad first showing, and everyone was just bashing him. Is he a bust? We call him Wembanyama or whatever.
Mm.
But then he comes back and has 27, 12, and 3.
Which now they shut him down.
Which no Spur has had all season last year. So I want him to be great. I think he has his tool set is unbelievable. His skills are unbelievable. So I want him to be great. But that's, I mean, only time will tell because we've never seen it before. We've never seen this before.
Right, and we've raised the expectations to LeBron status.
Right.
Like, that's where he is. He was like a part of this on Saturday, like the release show they did as far as the in season tournament. He was on the panel. I'm like, he's never played a game yet. I mean, yeah, the summer league, but they think that this guy's going to be, and I think he's going to be good. I don't think anybody can live up to the LeBron James thing.
Well, no one thought LeBron would live up to all that hype. And
True.
I mean, to me, he's 21 years in the NBA next season. I think he's MVP 21 years. I mean, just, you know, living up to all those expectations.
When were you with Cleveland?
I came in 2016, so 16 through 21.
Was LeBron there?
LeBron
then?
Was there. I was with LeBron for two seasons.
So what was that? What was that relationship like?
The best 2 years of my coaching life, because LeBron James actually made me a better coach.
Really?
Imagine that. Just seeing his work ethic and how he approached the game and how smart he was. One story I always tell about LeBron is one of the first preseason games we played was against Orlando Magic, and we were on the court and we were going through the walkthrough to talk about the game plan, and LeBron was telling everyone where to be. Hey, Shump, Iman Shump, hey, Shump, you go over here. Hey, K-Love, top lock. RJ, Richard Jefferson, you bet. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, was he in a coach's meeting? Was he in a coach's meeting? How does he know all these things? And it was the next day, and the next day, his basketball acumen is through the roof, and his preparation is second to none. So it makes you prepare because you know he's going to be ready. When you come to practice the next day, LeBron's going to be ready. So you got to make sure you're ready. You have to be two steps ahead of him, but he's five steps ahead of everyone else.
Well, there's guys that, like Popovich, has made this comparison too, where, again, LeBron and Joker have a different game, but there's a lot of similarities in the way they approach the game as far as, I don't care if I score 60, I just want to win the game. So if that's what was needed from me tonight to take over, or if I need to have 16 assists, that's what they do. Kind of approach the game that way.
It's IQ. It's 100% IQ. Those guys see things develop 2-3 possessions before it even develops. They're reading the game the entire time. Tremendous in the film room, right? They break down the film. They watch the game. They watch it, practice it. They watch it. Like, LeBron is a basketball savant, and I don't say that lightly. I mean, because this is a kid that came straight out of high school, right? So he didn't have the Mike Krzyzewski. He didn't have the Bobby Knight. He didn't have the great college coaches to kind of groom him to be in this great player. He came straight out of high school to the NBA, and he's been this brilliant from his rookie year. So he's had the chosen one tattooed on his back. He is the chosen one, and I saw it firsthand.
So you were 2016, was that the year they won?
So I came the summer the summer of 16, and everyone's walking around there with rings, and I was there the ring ceremony, but I didn't get one.
Oh, you were at the ring ceremony.
I was at the ring ceremony watching everyone get all my colleagues get their rings, and I didn't get one. And then we went to the finals 2 years after that, and this is one of the reasons why I don't hate to say it. I do not like the Golden State Warriors. I hate the Golden State Warriors because they were in my way of winning that NBA championship ring. We went to two finals against them the first 2 years I was there, and
that's when
Kevin Durant came, and they were just cheating. We would have won if KD didn't come, and KD came, and I lost my championship rings.
It's KD's fault.
It's KD's fault.
You don't have a ring because of Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant.
The Nuggets paid him back for you, though.
Thank you.
They got him back.
I'm in the great state of Colorado. We came to Cleveland, my family, and they won a championship, and now we come to Colorado. Now the Nuggets win.
Well, that might be something.
I might hang around so the Nuggets can do it again.
All right, that's the plan. Then if you go and then we don't win next year,
exactly,
we're gonna call. So if you just stay here for a year, whatever.
Let's try to repeat.
I am excited though, Sam, that you are sticking around the area. Like, you are going to be, this is what you want to grow basketball throughout the state, and so I'm pumped for that.
100%. Like, first of all, I fell in love with Northern Colorado. First of all, the state of Colorado, Northern Colorado, Fort Collins, Timmins, where I live right now. The people are amazing. The climate is amazing. I see a need, right? I think I can fulfill that need as far as helping develop these young players here in the area, and I want to do that.
And plus, you get to hear all my cool rule change ideas.
You are hilarious.
I've got more. Angel has my idea book. You still have that, right? You still kept the good idea book? Did you get rid of that?
Maybe at the old building.
you left it there with the asbestos. Yeah, you left it with everything.
I would tell him, write that down, and I never see him writing anything. So you have no idea how many ideas that I've thrown out that are amazing
just need one, gone away.
You
just need one to hit, and then we're all going to retire.
Well, how about my college football expansion idea? That is, every conference needs a representation in the college football playoffs. So Mountain West gets what you win your conference, you're in the playoffs.
That's not bad. That's not like NCAA. Like, yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Like, yeah. See, and I think people
are
like,
how many conferences are there?
Well, there's 4 million of them.
So there'd be 4 million teams in this tournament?
Yes. Yeah. Is there 11 or 12?
One. There we go again. I got to shoot it down
again.
I'm sorry.
See, you like it originally, and then you start thinking about it logically, and you're like, that doesn't make any sense. The argument, though, is like, oh, no, Alabama would destroy Boise State or whatever. I think over time, if you're like a 3-4-star recruit, and you're like, oh, I could go be a backup running back for Alabama for 2 years, and who knows if I ever see the field. Or, oh, here comes CSU calling, and they're actually supposed to contend this year. I could go be the starting running back for this team. All we got to do is make the playoffs. We might lose by 20, but we made the playoffs. I'm in the limelight. I'm getting people looking at me. And I think over time, we would spread those recruits out because you'd have guys wanting to look at those teams.
And that's the most profound thing you said today.
Isn't that something?
No, but that's true, though. And this is what's happening right now with NIL. Like, okay, I can go to this big school and get this money, but I can also get some money here that's not comparable, but it's feasible. And then I can also be in a better position, you know, if I have playing time and concern. So, yeah, let me go here, and it'll balance the playing field out, I think, eventually.
Isaiah Stevens is a pretty rare talent. Do you think he could go anywhere in the country and he would have the same position that he has with CSU?
No, to pull you behind the curtain here a little bit, I mean, there's a lot of teams that were courting him, especially, like I said, when I stepped away from CSU, they said, oh, he's not there anymore. Let me call and see. Let me inquire about, oh, yeah, I've got
can
phone call.
Can they do that?
He graduated. So he graduated.
Okay.
So he graduated and he put his name in the NBA draft, so he wasn't really... I think they can kind of call and inquire. They can't really call him directly, things like that. So they weren't calling him. I don't think they were breaking the rules there. But, yeah, I mean, I'm talking about some high major Power 5 schools.
Can't tell us.
I won't mention any names. But
we'll get it out.
these are teams that definitely want Isaiah Stevens because, yes, he can.
Wow.
I mean, he's a borderline NBA player.
And so
of course, he can play in the university.
Why do you – was it just the loyalty thing? Does he love CSU?
Yes. I mean, it's him. It's his character at the core. I mean, this guy is – he's the real deal. And the thing I say about Nico and also say about Isaiah Stevens, I was extremely impressed with – he's serious. Mm. Like, Isaiah is no nonsense. First guy in, last guy out. Loves the game. He's a basketball purist. I mean, this guy is talking to me. This is our running joke, our inside joke. He's talking to me about a Chicago legend named Marcus Liberty, who no one knows about unless you're from Chicago. And Isaiah brought that up. I looked at Isaiah like, how do you know Marcus Liberty? He's like, yeah, I try not to let everybody know how crazy I am about basketball. Like, I know everybody. I'm like, what?
So he's like a real student of the game.
Student of the game. I mean, he wants to watch film. He watched film with Ali Farkness every day, and he's looking for anyone. Hey, cool, you got film for me? Coach Jones, you got film for me? Like, dude, like, can you just sit down with Coach Ali? You know, he wants to watch film with Coach Medved, with any and everybody. He just wants to know more. He's hungry for knowledge, hungry for the game. That's why he's going to be successful in basketball and in life. And the last thing I'll say about Isaiah Stevens, not the last thing, I can talk about him all day, but Nico always talks about his parents. We know where it comes from. He said those are the best parents I've ever recruited in the recruiting process because they get it. And that's where he gets it from.
So. I think I'm friends with that because we do the Isaiah Stevens show and his mom follows the page and everything. So I think I'm friends with her on Facebook too.
Awesome.
She seems really cool.
She was a college athlete. So she gets it. They understand. And they know he could have went anywhere in the country. But that, we again, going back to what you the original question, his loyalty is real, right? And he's going to do great things. He's going to break all the records this year, assists, points. He'll be everything. And if they did statues in college like they do in the pros, Isaiah Stevens have a statue outside of CSU.
We should have Isaiah Stevens statue or David Roddy statue.
Ooh.
Could we
get Isaiah like throwing David a lob?
I think we asked Isaiah too when he had the assist rolling last year. We asked him like if he remembered his first assist. I think it was Roddy. The odds are it's probably Roddy.
Right. Right. How cool is that? And then that's a statue. There you go.
Yeah,
here's my grade. Hey, write this down.
Angel's actually writing yours down.
Angel
man.
Has a statue outside of CSU with Isaiah Stevens passing it to David Roddy.
That would be pretty cool,
Eston
man.
Stone.
Those two guys will probably go down as
best combo.
Probably.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the entire history of CSU, and don't get me wrong, some great players came through here. But those two were very, very special.
Yeah, and this in my memory, too. And I haven't been, you know, I've been doing this show since, like, I don't know when, sometime. But these two guys have been the most fun to watch, the most successful overall. I mean, because the proof is in the stats, too.
The proof's in the stats. One's in the NBA. One's going to the NBA. NCAA tournament bid. I mean, top best seed in school history. So, yeah. I mean,
do you
yeah.
think Isaiah, like, just predicting... Does he get drafted?
I hope so. Yeah. I hope so. I hope so. I really hope so. A team that picks him up is going to pick up a locker room guy, going to pick up a leader. They're going to pick up a very good basketball player. So with Isaiah, it's the intangible that separates him, right? It's not the wingspan. It's not the quickness, although he is quick, although he does have a decent wingspan. But he's not the tallest. He's not the fastest. But he will be the smartest on the court. He will be cerebral, and he will do the right thing. He will do the next right thing. Every possession.
And that's where I think David Roddy really had an upper hand there. Just as you talked about to start the show today, it was like how unique he is. You know, he is a really unique player, Roddy is. Isaiah's unique in different ways, but maybe not an obvious way, like Roddy.
Exactly. And I always talk about purists, the real basketball. I had I'll put names out there. One of the scouts from the Phoenix Suns sat down with me once and told me how much he loved Isaiah. Like, look, we need a true point. Kind of like a Chris Paul. And Chris Paul is actually Isaiah's favorite player. So
I can see that.
There's a comparison there. Chris Paul's not the tallest, not the fastest. He's very cerebral. He can get to a spot and he can make other guys better. That's what Isaiah. He's going to make your team better. He's going to make your teammates better. And that's valuable. Right? If you're really about winning and taking steps, you want a guy like Isaiah Stevens. You're about just the bells and whistles, and this guy can run and jump and dunk and do all this. And then Isaiah's not your guy. But if you want to win and add value to your locker room, add value to your program, Isaiah Stevens the guy.
Who is David Roddy like? Is there any comparison?
Zero.
There's nobody, right?
Zero. I told you. I mean, he's a undersized big man.
That's a great way.
He's an oversized guard.
Yeah.
We haven't seen anybody like him before, and that's why he got drafted in the first round. I was shocked.
I was going to ask you.
Oh, my goodness. I was shocked. I thought late first, early second, and I get a text from Mike Gansey, the GM from the Cleveland Cavaliers, and because you know we talk Roddy all season, he said Roddy, and this was before the announcement. I'm like, what do you mean Roddy? It's too early, you know. And then you know with the 23rd pick, like I'm like, wait, what? You know, like 21st pick, was it 21 or 23?
What was it? I can't remember. I think you're.
It might have been a 21st pick or 23rd. It was right up there.
23rd.
The 23rd pick, you know, David Roddy. I said, oh my goodness, this is awesome. So someone gets it. Like, there's some smart people in the front office there in Memphis. And who was ever smart in the front office next year, they're going to pick up Isaiah Stevens.
I kind of thought Denver might, because they talked to David. You know, Malone talked to David. They did he work out down there, I think, in Denver?
He went to Denver,
And it seemed like he and Malone were just, they were getting hitting it off and they were getting along well.
But. Oh, yeah, and the GM, Calvin Booth, he came to a couple of our games. And I think they had him, I think Denver might have had a pick late second, late. First, early second, and I think he might have get picked up by them if Memphis didn't get him.
Well, 27 minutes after the hour. Sam Jones hanging out with us today. Yes. We'll continue this conversation on the other side. A lot of good basketball talk. You're shooting down all my ideas, though. I have more. Don't worry. I have plenty more where that came
right, here
from.
We go.
We'll take a quick break. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Joker gets the last laugh. The Nuggets are the champs. Celebrate with us on KFKA.
Hey, everybody. This is former CSU running back Kyle Bell, and you are listening to my main man, Brady Hull, on the Hull Show. Do not turn your dial. Keep it right here.
It's a fun show today. This has been a blast. Sam Jones sticking with us throughout the... You were supposed to just be on for 30 minutes, and then... We got a great conversation going.
And then magic happened.
Magic happened. That's how it goes sometimes. Sam Jones, of course, was with Colorado State as an assistant basketball coach. And as we talked about throughout the podcast, or you will go back and hear in the podcast today, it was a positive parting of ways with you and CSU.
100%. You said was with CSU physically, but I'm still there.
You're still
in heart.
You're
in
still...
Heart. Yeah, I'm still with CSU through and through.
Well, now you're like, you're going to be in... You're close with these guys, and now you can give us scoops and stuff. So
I'll give you that's
what I'm excited
about.
Well,
don't say it on the air. I got to get the information first, and then I'll bring it back.
They won't have to know. let me ask you this question. We were talking about the recruiting stuff and, you know, guys reaching out about Isaiah or whatever. How much of that, like... The illegal portion of that is happening, do you think? Like, where a... Because when we had Jay Norvell on, he kind of made it sound like, yeah, there's Pac-12 guys reaching out to Torrey Horton all the time.
I can see that happening. I mean, like, I don't, is it illegal now? I mean, isn't it all fair game now, the way things just opened
guess,
up this
like,
last 2 years?
Is it... So, like, right now, today, is it... Can it's just theoretically, could Ollie Faroukmanesh, another assistant for CSU... reach out to you and a player at UNC
no.
like, tweet message him?
No. Those rules are in place.
But do you think it's still going on?
I would hope not, to be honest. I would hope not. Maybe.
How do you get it? How do you let it be known that there's a player out there that you know would, if they were to leave or whatever, they would come to, you would want them at CSU or something? Or do you just have to hope they enter the transfer portal?
That's the thing. I mean, that's how we did it. Maybe we were behind the eight ball the entire time. But once the transfer portal opened up, I mean, we're right there as a staff. We're in there. We opened it up, and we're cold calling everyone. That's the bad part about the transfer portal. It's like normally you get a year and a half, 2 years to recruit a kid. Now you have a week and a half 2 weeks to recruit a kid, and it's like speed dating, right? You're just on the phone, just trying to sell yourself, and you know it's a disaster, you know. And it's hard to build those relationships before because it's illegal to kind of call these kids,
right.
And you don't know if they're leaving or not, right? You just don't know. So once that portal opens, I mean, we hit the ground running, and it's been a challenge. But that being said, Colorado State hit some home runs.
Oh my goodness.
In the transfer portal.
Absolutely.
Credit to that staff over there. I mean, they did a really, really good job bringing in Neek Clifford, Javonte Johnson, Joe Scott, and some other guys they brought. I mean, what an unbelievable job they did.
Neek Clifford, too.
Yeah.
I mean,
he played 50 games for him. Yeah, he played 50 games for the Buffs, but he's a Ram now.
Well, he was a
That's
bad guy.
What
he
we
was
do.
A bad guy, yeah, and now he's a good guy.
We give everyone a second chance, right? Like, life is about giving people second chances. He has a second chance in life, and he's going to kill it.
He's one of those players, too, toward the end of the season. It seemed like he was just getting better and better and better with every game.
Yeah, we're going to pump that confidence in him. That's all he's missing, just a little confidence. The skill set is 100% there. We're going to pump that confidence in him. He's going to make a huge step, like all CSU players do.
Yeah, well, I'm excited for that team. I mean, again, I know you're going to be involved somehow. You'll be there hanging out.
100%.
You're going to check them out at practice and stuff, too.
I'm going this week. Yeah, I'm going to pop my head in this week. I'll bring my boys there and see the progress. Nico does a great job in the summer putting some of the schemes and the tactical things in during the summer. So I want to go see how far they are right now.
I want to go check
that
out.
I'm a real fan. I might come pick you up. We're in the same neighborhood.
I might just let me know. I will run out there. I'll jump in.
Let's go.
Just say I'm tagging along to watch practice.
You're more than welcome. And Nico does a great job. Nico does a great job with that. We're welcoming people in. No closed door policy. Open door policy for whoever wants to come. Just let them know in advance. They open the doors up and let you watch the entire practice. That's why he's not hiding anything. The culture there is good.
Right.
And it's transparent.
It is very transparent. He's so open to that. The coaching staff is great. I mean, again, meeting you right off the bat, we got to know each other. And Ali Farokmanesh is around.
First class.
He's a good dude.
First class. He's a head coach in waiting. Yeah, somewhere.
How long do you think he's going to be around?
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to keep him around. I mean, him and Nico are attached to him. I will say that. They have great, great, great chemistry. So if he wants to just hang around and be with Nico and build this dynasty like Nico has done and will continue to do, I can see that. But I can also see Ali taking over his own program because he's a really, really good coach.
I know. And I like him, too, because he's an outside thinker. He's always thinking of, kind of like what you're doing with this. Like, he's always thinking about different programs that could help grow basketball.
He's going to push the envelope. Ali's going to push the envelope. And this is why he did a great job with developing David Roddy to a pro, developing Isaiah Stevenson to a pro, and whoever comes through there, Ali's going to do a great job with those guys.
How much does he talk about the shot?
Sorry, Ali, I have to give you a hard time. I hope you're listening.
He brings it up all the time.
Normally you say, I hope they're not listening. I hope you're listening, Ali. He doesn't talk about it a lot, but I tell you one thing. That Sports Illustrated picture, when you walk in his office,
it's there.
Bam!
Is it blown up?
Bam!
Like it's a
it's a 20 by 20. The room isn't even 20. I mean, that thing is, as soon as you walk in, all you see is Ali shooting that shot, which was an incredible shot, by the way. Cool backstory. I recruited Ali to come out to Europe. I was his head coach in Europe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I knew about the shot as well many, many moons ago.
That's an amazing connection.
He actually played for me overseas.
Is that how you got connected with Nico?
That's exactly how I got connected with Nico. Ali and I, we went all the way to Game 7 of the finals. Don't let me start talking about the details of that game. I thought we should have been champions. We competed like champions. We practiced like champions. We were champions, but we lost in Game 7. But when you win a championship, that was our championship. You're connected with those people for life. Like, he literally named one of his sons Ty after one of his teammates on that team, Ty Wesley, who actually played at Utah State. The connections are all over the place. Ali and I have been connected ever since that season we had overseas, and we talked basketball every year, and then the timing was right for me to come to CSU and work with him.
It's amazing how that works, too. It's like you just know this guy from this portion of your career, and then it comes back, and then here you are. It seems like it happens a lot.
It happens with us organically, and it was just a full circle moment when we won, because we lost it, that Game 7, and we were just hunting that championship together, and then we won the Paradise Jam out in the Virgin Islands, and we kind of looked at each other like, we got our championship. Even though it was just the Paradise, the tournament championship, we got our championship, and then obviously we made it to the NCAA tournament and had some fun there too. So
Wasn't it the Paradise Jam where the lights were out in the practice?
Yes, I forgot
That's
about
when
that.
kind of had this feeling. I was like, this is a special group because you guys all just, everybody I talked to just rolled with the punches on that deal.
No excuses. I mean, Nico, Medved, myself, Ali, we're all solution-based. We're not going to say, oh, the lights are off, let's go home and, you know, drink, you know, whatever they drink in the Persian Islands. Water.
Water, yes.
No, we're going to pivot and find a solution. So, I mean, we open the shades up and there's a little natural light coming in and we just practice, you know. We went through the practice and we actually won that tournament with that adversity, you know. So
it was a crazy season.
Yeah.
I mean, all those memories, no question about it. 1:39 the time. Sam will finish up with us here on the program. We're on until 2 o'clock. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Joel Cantalamessa from RamNation.com. You're listening to The Hull Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
.142 the time. Welcome back into the show. It's The Hull Show powered by PDC Energy. Sam Jones sticking with us here today. And I won't say former CSU assistant coach.
And you
coach
keep saying
anymore.
That like I'm just turning my back on the university.
What do I say?
Love, I love
how do
Rams.
I say it now? He was the coach, and now he's kind of not.
Yeah. That's fair.
But no, in all seriousness, man, you are one of those guys. We're talking a lot about culture today, on and off the air, and you're just one of those guys that you can see why you work well with Nico Medved, and you can see why certain players want to continue to play. So whatever you choose to do, and as you're growing this Mile High 3v3 tournament and your personal website, you're going to excel. You're going to do great.
I hope so. I'm doing it with the right intentions, right? Just trying to grow the game in Northern Colorado like we spoke on earlier. Again, basketballjonesports.com will be up and running here next week or so, and I'll start my skills training and just trying to excel in that avenue.
And so that's going to be an opportunity where people can reach out to you, and if they're like, hey, I think my kid's pretty good. I want to get him some of that one-on-one attention. You've been around LeBron James. I mean, you've been around you coached against Nikola Jokic. I mean, you have this resume. Yeah, if I have a kid that's interested in basketball, it might be a pretty good idea to have you give him some pointers.
And that's my spiel to the parents will be, if you drop your child off with me, it's not going to be a one-hour babysitting session. Like, you're giving them to me or her to me to develop and get better, and I want real results. Like, I'm result driven, and when I was coaching the NBA Development League and the G League, I helped, you know, two guys go from two-way contracts to full-time NBA contract. One got a $16 million deal, Dean Wade. That's my shout-out, Dean Wade. And then Lamar Stevens got his contract guaranteed in the NBA. And those are guys I work with intimately day in and day out. So I want results. Also for these young kids, right? I want results. Be a better shooter. Just be a better ball handler. Be a better passer. Be a better teammate. Be a better human, right? So I want to develop these kids in every aspect of their game and on and off the court.
I think that's just so so powerful, what we need. Like, yeah, you want your kids, because it's going to be good for you. If this kid succeeds and is good at basketball, okay, then there's a recommendation. Now you're getting more and more. But you're talking about building up their character, too. And I think that parents can be great, but having coaches in their life, whether that's your team coach through high school or it's a coach like more like what you're trying to do or what you are going to do, I think that that's such an important factor in growing up.
100%. And we did that over at CSU. We talk about developing the whole man, not just the player, right? So I envision that with Basketball Jones Sports as well. Like, I want to develop the young adults, the young kids on and off the court, help mentor them. I had mentors in my life, right? And we all need mentors, a big brother, a coach figure, a father figure, whatever. And I hope that I can provide that as well.
Well, I'm excited for that, man. And all that, you know, this tournament coming up on July 30th, I think it's going to be fun. 3-on-3, 3v3.
So much. I want to play. Can I sign up?
Well, we need a third.
Can I sign up? I want to play.
We need a third.
I don't know about you guys, though. I want to win it, too, now. No disrespect.
I also
want to win. I'm not just playing to play. I said I'm result-driven, right?
We just got to get to the free throw line. Just get us to the free throw line. Angel and I can make free throws.
There you go.
That's what we need to do. Are you still pretty good?
In my mind, yes.
I mean, you look like you could still play tomorrow.
In my mind, yes. My body says no. The good thing about being a basketball coach on this level, especially in the NBA, obviously in college as well, you have to move around, right? You're on the court. You're doing dribble handoffs. So I'm still very, very active. I don't go out and play, for the love of the game. I love teaching for the love of the game. A lot of people my age still go out and play in these gentlemen leagues, which is completely fine because, they still love playing. But for me, I emptied the tank, right? I played 10 years professionally. That last year, I knew I was done. So I don't have that itch to go out and play. No, I don't have that itch to play. I love teaching it. I love being around it. So I can still move and I shoot around a little bit, but I don't play the game anymore, no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, basketball is one of those sports where when you're in it, you're in it. You're playing all the time.
Yeah.
Like every single day, all day. I mean, it's just nonstop.
So. I emptied my plan tank, but I'm just getting started with my coaching and teaching tank.
You got, I think that you got a great career in front of you, either side of what's going to happen here. Sam Jones joining us. All right, we do a segment at the end of the show coming up next, what we learned today. So, Sam, we'll figure out what we learned together.
Okay.
We're going to do this together.
All right, let's do it.
It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Jerry Schimmel, voice of the UNC Bears and host of Amazing Americans. And you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
Hey, hey, what do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
All right, what did we learn on this 11th day of July? Well, Sam, you were in here, so I learned a lot. I learned a lot about kind of some of the process, the recruiting process, and everything. So that was pretty enlightening stuff to have you in.
Well, I'm glad you learned something today. My parents used to say growing up, you should learn something new every day.
We try.
I learned something today as well. I learned that Brady Hole has the answers to everything.
Oh.
I learned that you can solve the NBA flopping problem. I learned the in-season tournament, how you're going to enhance that.
Yep, make that better.
We talked about soccer. We talked about football. I mean,
Ted Lasso.
Ted
Nailed it. Got three.
I'm going to fall. So I learned a lot of things today, and I learned, you know, how great you are with all these ideas. So I'm going to start writing them down.
You both write them down. Angel, what'd you learn today?
I learned a lot, like you, a lot about the insides of college basketball, a little bit of pro basketball as well, and then also the youth with Sam's doing. But we talked about it earlier in the show about creating a basketball state, mm-hmm. almost. You know, you have the NBA world champions here in the state. You have, you know, programs like the 3-on-3 tournament going on for the youth. But we can start to grow basketball as this thing that to come to Colorado to play basketball here. And guys like Sam, they do a great job of interacting with their communities and spreading that love for sports, but also just playing and interacting and being social.
It starts at that youth level. Everything comes back to that. So if we want better high school players that are going and getting drafted, like what we saw yesterday in Major League Baseball with local guys, we got to have guys like you, Sam, that's what we're doing.
Basketball Jones is in the community and for the community. Like, I've always wanted to do something with giving back, but my job was so demanding and intense, and I was, you know, recruiting and doing it as a coaching or evaluating or developing. Like, I never really had a chance to really invest in the community, and now the time is here in the community, for the community, Basketball Jones.
And it's something you're very passionate about. And again, you have this resume of coaching and guys you've been around over these years, and this is something you're passionate about. Where I think parents can really feel comfortable with, okay, yeah, I think my kid can get there, but he needs some extra attention. He needs some work. You'd be that guy.
Bring him here. Bring him to Basketball Jones. We are going to get better. I'm not a babysitter. I'm a developer, and we are going to develop, and we are going to get better if that's what you want your child to do. We're going to have fun doing it, too. Don't get me wrong. I'm not. Again, I'll be demanding without being demeaning.
But that's the key, right? Is you want to be able, and these parents will probably say the same thing. Yeah, you got to push them, but also we want you
love
to be kind
up.
Of a decent
love
person.
Love them up, absolutely.
And you kind of fit that.
100%.
So, Sam, man, it was so much fun. This Mile High 3v3 tournament, got about a minute left here. Again, throw out that website for people because his age is 11 and beyond.
Yeah, 11 and beyond, boys and girls, men and women, please come out to Future Legends out in Windsor. Register today, right? You register to secure your spot. Swag bags, jerseys, $1,500 cash prize for the adults, gift cards, bells and whistles, a lot of fun. You might see some special guests there, some CSU players. Can I bring back a former NBA player? I don't know. I mean, you guys signed
up. LeBron going to be there?
I don't know about LeBron, but I mean, I might get to bring some other players back. But
I have to. You don't know if you don't ask.
That's true. That's
right?
True. That's
I mean,
true.
Come on.
I mean, ultimately, I mean, if it takes off like we wanted to, I mean, we can bring whoever back.
I'll bring a basketball, one of those autographable basketballs, just in case.
There you go.
I'll bring it by.
Let's do it.
Sam, awesome time, man. Great job. We have to do this again sometime. You might be gunning for my job.
Stray cat. I'm a stray cat. You feed me once, I'll keep coming back.
This is a blast. Thanks for coming down here and making the trip.
Thanks for having me. This was awesome. I'm humbled. Thank you very much.
All right, we'll do it again, and we'll be sure to keep you updated on all things Sam Jones. All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back at it on a Wednesday. Good night, Northern Colorado.